Hi, you're listening to Go See a Show, the Off-Off-Broadway podcast. Way back in the third episode of the podcast, I interviewed Megan Lee and Kevin Paul Smith, two company members with Perchance to Dream Theater. In this episode, I interview the rest of the company, excepting artistic director Elizabeth Depo, so incentive to keep making stuff so we can get Liz on the show, y'all. Here's Emma Schimminger, director, along with actors Neil Moeller and Leanne Mercadante from the company's production of The Tempest.
What's everybody's role? What's everybody? Emma, you're directing.
I'm directing one of the founders of the company, the producing director for the company. I'm also the lighting designer as well.
I love this many hats thing we do. Neil?
Company member and playing Prospero.
And Leanne?
Mm-hmm. I'm a company member and I'm playing Ariel.
Excellent. I love that we're getting like another half. I think after we'd met with Kevin and Megan, this is like the rest of Perchance to Dream, right?
Yep.
In terms of core company members?
Yeah.
Awesome. So, The Tempest, obviously, with Ariel and Prospero joining us. So, what prompted you to do The Tempest?
Well, we were trying to figure out what to do for our first full production. And
oh, this is the first full one?
Yep.
Excellent.
Yeah. The 24-hour play projects have been ongoing. And the company was founded by me and my friend Liz Depo as a part of our studies at Central School of Speech and Drama. And so we did a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream as our kind of thesis project, which was where kind of Leanne came into play, and Kevin and Megan also did that. Neil has joined us later on. So that was a production of sorts, but not to the production level that this is. So we consider this the
pretty
first
interesting production. It was out in the...
Yeah, it was. It took place site specifically in a cemetery in Queens.
I remember Megan mentioning this.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so we use puppetry, rod puppets, and full body puppets, and then live actors. And it was a promenade piece, so the audience followed the action through the cemetery. So we did one performance of that.
So now we're loading into
the first full production, and it was just figuring out what we could do that worked well for us as a company. And one of those things is we all have a love of Shakespeare.
The name like Perchance to Dream.
Yeah. And so for me, I was just reading through plays, just doing research and trying to figure out what would be interesting and what might work well for us. And I picked up The Tempest for the first time in years. And, just as I was reading through it, there were questions that came into my mind about these characters that in other productions I had seen had been very different. Like an older Prospero, an Ariel who was a very kind of obeying servant and kind of nothing more, and even flighty and those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And a Miranda who was very kind of docile and kind of did everything she was told. And so there were aspects of that reading it that I was questioning why they were played that way. So I decided to bring the idea to the company, and the company said, yes, let's do it. So that's kind of how it came into being.
Any sort of, besides like these character ideas that you're trying to explore and find different avenues for approaching the characters than productions that you've seen before, any other contemporary twists on it or ideas about how are you setting it?
It's set modern day,
okay.
But as modern day, non-specifically,
right?
Just kind of that
timeless,
yeah.
Which works well for Shakespeare, I think.
Yeah. And it's still set on an island, but it's not lost. We're not doing Tropical Island.
Okay.
I told the designers to get that out of their head. There aren't palm fronds and coconuts everywhere.
Right.
Kind of thing.
Okay.
This is a very treacherous island. This is a dangerous island. This is, craggy rocks and caves and deep, dense forests. And, nothing is kind of safe to it, especially for those people who have not been on it before. So the shipwreckees who wind up on it and have to traverse it. We're not doing any sort of major thematic twists or trying to play into any current political statements necessarily. It's just
totally unnecessary. I just thought I'd ask
absolutely.
Where it's at.
We didn't set it on the moon.
All right.
I think I read about one production that set it on the moon.
Really?
Yes.
Ray Bradbury does Shakespeare. What's it been like from the actor perspective? This is these are two pretty big roles and iconic roles. Like, exciting, challenging, all of the above.
Yes.
Nerve-wracking.
Yeah. In reading after, you know, Emma brought this to our attention, we read it as we each of us took the time to read it on our own and come to the table with different ideas of maybe who we wanted to play or different themes or different, you know, circumstances regarding like the play itself. And I kept looking at Ariel. I kept looking at her like, you know, and I refer to her as a she, as a female character. Not as, I kept interpreting her as someone who was not androgynous and not flighty and not insubstantial.
So you had the same sort of reaction that Emma did, it sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I really pictured her as someone with quite a bit of power. And we talked about at length, you know, what is it about Prospero and Ariel? Why can't Ariel just leave if she's this all-powerful spirit? And so we're just trying to figure out those circumstances were really interesting and fun, I think. And I don't know if we want to give away what our idea is or if we want to leave it as a cliffhanger.
Well, maybe we should just say you should come and see the show.
Oh,
yes.
Yes.
I will say that my interpretation of Ariel is not someone that is, again, not your typical air spirit as it's been called in the play. As Shakespeare writes as an airy spirit,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the character description. And I'm playing Ariel more as a siren rather than someone, like I said, insubstantial or inconstant. And there's still the constant state of flux, of movement for her. But yeah, she's got her own agenda. And it's been fun playing up the sexuality of her. I'll put that out there to say.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Prospero?
It's Prospero. It's first thought when people hear me say that, they're like, oh, it's really exciting. Aren't you a bit young? and technically, yes, I could have a 15-year-old daughter. But a lot of people, the correlation with that is, this was his last play. The correlation between Prospero and Shakespeare himself, that was kind of his farewell to the theater. But with this production that we're doing, we're definitely acknowledging the fact that I'm a bit younger, a bit more vigorous in my love and in my vengeance. And it's actually quite fun. It's going to be a much different production than I think people are going to be used to have seen. I'm pretty excited about that. Especially our fun twist between Ariel and Prospero.
Yeah, this has got me.
Yes.
What's going on in here?
With any production, I think of The Tempest. When I think of it, it really is defined on how you interpret the Ariel and Caliban. And we have another amazing performer who's Brian Shepherd, who's playing our Caliban, who's bringing such great characterization to this very difficult role, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very difficult role.
You mentioned puppets in Midsummer.
Mm-hmm.
Any puppetry showing up in here?
Not puppetry per se, but there is mask work
being
used throughout the play in various ways.
Lots of masks.
Lots of masks work. In our opening sequence, we have our shipwreckies are all in half mask. I guess I don't know what the technical term for that would be.
Well, termed a neutral mask in theory, but
right.
It's a little more than that.
Right.
So.
The neutral masks, they all have a little bit of characterization,
mm-hmm.
Personalization for each of the shipwreckies. As Ariel, I wear quite a few different hats, different masks, as they were.
Rimshot.
Yes. My harpy mask is grotesque and terrifying and feathery and oozy and gooey and it's delicious. and then I make a couple of different appearances as spirits and our terrifying dog chase, which Liz, who is Liz Depa, who's the other company member, founding member, She's also you know, the puppet designer and, mm-hmm. and mask artist, and she created this. To me, it seems like it's 3 feet tall. This mm-hmm. this dog head that I put on at one point, and it's got a long strip of fur in back, and it's you know, bloody fangs and yellowing, decaying bone and exposed. You know, it's
that's fun.
It's really, really gruesome, and we had a really great time during our load in yesterday, playing with some of the lights and the mask. With the dog head, just kind of figuring out through our set a lot of the different movement, and it's been really fun. It's been really fun playing. This is my first time as an actor doing such intense mask work, and I do quite a bit, but yeah, it's been a joy as an actor to be able to play with masks and interpret and use those masks to still create a central character. So having each of these different distinct personalities come together for one being.
Very cool. So with this being The Tempest, your very first full production, is the idea for Chance to Dream to move forward, is the idea for Chance to Dream going forward to stay with Shakespeare or to?
No, not at all. We're just coming from a first love, essentially. And,
of course. We all got to start somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. So the goal of the company is essentially to investigate an eclectic mix of both classic and new work, and also trying to find a possible combining of the two. So we're interested in looking at classic pieces, but doing them with a twist or turning them on their side or those sorts of things. So. We are not a Shakespeare-based company, strictly. We are not a classic-based company. We are excited to explore all different avenues as far as the theater world is concerned. So.
And you're going to keep doing these 24-hour play things, right? Because,
yes.
Full disclosure, I just did one with these guys, and it was a blast.
Yeah. Probably not in the middle of going into production week.
That was a unique choice.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, the reason we did it is because the first one we did was exactly a year ago, so it was the one-year anniversary mm-hmm. of the first one that we had done, and when we originally talked about doing it, we talked about trying to do it on a semi-annual basis.
Mm-hmm.
So it just kind of fell where it did, Tempest just kind of ended up falling where it did due to schedules.
The following week, yes.
Yes, the following week. So as someone said to me the other night, okay, mental note, next time do not do a 24-hour project going into tech for the show. And I said, hey, I asked everybody.
It was nice PR, right?
Yeah. Exactly. That's the way we look at it. It was a way to get out to people who otherwise might not have mm-hmm. even heard about the show that we were doing.
And we've met so many wonderful people mm-hmm. because of it. We have, in our, this past winter, we had a contest during the 24-Hour Play Festival for the audience's favorite playwright, and that was Lindsay Calloran, and she is working on a brand new piece specifically for Perchance a Dream Theater.
Excellent.
So, and it's based off of a selection of sonnets. So that's a really exciting kind of thing, which we're still playing with and figuring out, you know, what we're going to do, where we're going to go from there. But it's really exciting, you know, finding such wonderful, talented people through things like the play festivals and through our work in Tempest and the variety show that we held last year as well,
which you can hear about on a previous
episode. Yes, a previous Go See a Show podcast.
That happened to take place during a hurricane.
That's right.
Indeed, and which brings us full circle back to The Tempest.
Back to The Tempest.
So, way to go, Emma. So, come see The Tempest, and what are the dates, locale?
We have a Pay What You Can preview tomorrow, Wednesday night, and then opening Thursday, July 12th. running Thursday, Friday, Saturday night at 8 p.m., Saturday at 3, Sunday at 2, and it's at Theater 54 at Shetler Studios.
Which is on the 12th floor, and you can get tickets at perchancetodreamtheaterre.org.
Yep,
okay.
Or you can go directly to brownpapertickets.com, and it's The Tempest.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Dig it. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
I'll let you get back to tech.
Awesome.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks to Emma, Neil, and Leanne for taking the time out of tech to record an interview with me. Their production of The Tempest opens tonight, Thursday, July 12th at 8 p.m., with two more 8 o'clock showings on Friday and Saturday, as well as a 3 p.m. Saturday matinee and a 2 p.m. Sunday matinee. So that's just 5 performances, so don't delay. You can get tickets at perchancetodreamtheater.org. Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you dig it, please give it a like on Facebook at facebook.com/goseeashow. Follow me at goseeashow on Twitter and rate or comment on the show's iTunes page and get a link from the homepage of the website. As always, send any comments, suggestions, praise, or complaints to me at Robbie, R-O-B-B-Y, at goseeashowpodcast.com. Until next time, go see a show.
So that's another hat. I'm going to start wearing gloves. So it's hats and gloves. Next, it'll be shoes.
And shoes, yes.